Father has only one son. Now she loves her son too much. But at that time, if the son is fallen down into the river, when mother was there and she saw that her son was fallen down into the water, then her love became extremely very, very strong. Because she don't have hand. She wanted to help that son too much. But she can't help that because she don't have the hand. And she has only one son also. Her love is completely very strong towards that son. Now, during that period, when the son is going to drown in the water, and mother is looking that situation, then you just imagine how strong the love will be during that period of the mother. It is really very strong during that period. So that kind of strong love should be there to all living beings. Not say out from the mouth, not the love from the mouth, but love from within the mind. You have to give that love to all living beings, not only to your only son, but you must give the love to all living beings who are suffering. Because they take birth in this samsara many, many times because they don't have any good teachers to teach the right path. And because of lack of faith and devotion to the Dharma also. And because lack of practice, they wander in this samsara all the time. They won't get any chance to get rid of from this samsara. So now, why not generate some deep love in your mind to all living beings and try to help them? That is most important. If you go on thinking that way, giving love to all living beings, thinking that all living beings are your mother, it's not your enemy. It's not those wrathful animals who are coming towards you to eat your body. It's not like that, but they are your mother. Treat them as your mother. Then normally your love comes within your mind and try to help them. It comes generally, it inspires from your mind like that. So that kind of love should be there. Love is not like that. From only it comes, I love you, I like you. Not only that. Love should be within, from the inner mind, saying that all living beings are your mother. If you treat your all living beings as your mother, then your love is true. If you think that it's your husband, if you think that it's your wife, then that is not the true love. It's an artificial love, something like that. So love should be like that. If you treat all living beings as your mother, then normally the real, the real love, the boundless love will come from your mind, and then pray and then practice yourself for the benefit of all living beings because they have been your mother. Now you have to pay those kindness which they have shown you in your previous life. That is very important. That kind of love is boundless love. Now, that is also included in the bodhicitta. Now, second one, the boundless compassion. Now, boundless compassion, it doesn't mean that we don't have compassion. We have a little bit of compassion. As soon as we see some small creatures or some poor creatures, the poor animals who are suffering, normally we feel kindness in our mind. When we see some poor beggars, when we see some animals who are suffering, at that moment we feel some sort of compassion in our mind. But that is not the boundless compassion. Because when you see the situation, that kind of kindness comes in your mind. If there is no, if you won't see that kind of situation, then that kind of compassion will also not come in your mind. That means that is not a boundless compassion. Now, boundless compassion is only with Buddha, actually speaking. But we can practice that, we can attain that, we can obtain that. We can get that boundless compassion through practice. When we see, for example, when we see a person who is superior to ourselves, for example, I saw a person who is very rich, richer than me, and he is more superior than me. And when I saw him, it is, if I am not a good practitioner, then it is impossible to feel some sort of compassion in your mind. We can't give any compassion to that person because he is superior than me. He is richer than me. But if he is poorer, if he is inferior to me, then normally we are not a good practitioner. So we normally used to feel some sort of kindness to them. Oh, that means, oh, poor person. I feel some pityness to them. So, some sort like that. We feel because they are inferior than to us. So in that way, according to the situations, if arises some sort of compassion, that is not the ultimate or that is not the boundless compassion. Now, when Buddha comes, for example, a great master used to come in front of me, and in my mind, I may feel some sort of jealousy to him. Because I saw him, he is bigger than me. I saw him, he is in superior than me. So in that moment, if we are not a good practitioner, then normally we feel some sort of jealousy or something like that. No compassion at all. But when we see some poor animals, then normally we get some, we may arise some sort of compassion in our mind. But that is not the ultimate or the boundless compassion. Now, when Buddha comes, for example, the Bodhisattvas, when Bodhisattvas used to come for the benefit of other living beings, they used to see to all living beings, they used to give compassion. Their mind is fully compassionate to all living beings. Even though it doesn't matter whether he is suffering or not. For example, in the sansara, there are six realms. If we see the sufferings of the hell, then even we people also, even we are not the bodhisattvas, but we can also feel some sort of compassion or pity. We can feel some kindness to them also. But those bodhisattvas, they give the compassion to those living beings also who are suffering. And those animals who are in the God's realm, they are not suffering. They are enjoying luxurious life. But to us, it's very difficult to practice compassion. But to those bodhisattvas, they think that, oh, even they are enjoying, they have full of powers. There is no suffering at all in the God's realm. They are a big teachers even. They are great masters. Like King, say, the king of God, Indra, or Brahma, or something like these are the great king of the gods in the god realm. So the bodhisattvas, when they saw even these great kings of the god's realm, they have a full compassion to them because they think that they are not away from this samsara. Even though they are enjoying full of comfort, even though they have full of powers, but they think that they are not away from this samsara. They are also living beings. Sooner or later, if the time comes, then again they will have to come down, take birth in the lower realms, and they will also suffer other sufferings of the other lower realms of the samsara. So in this way, I think so, the boundless compassion must be from within the mind for all the living beings who are in the samsara, no matter what position they of the living beings may be, but all living beings are equal because they are suffering, they are within this samsara. If he used to give this kind of compassion to all living beings, then that may be termed as the ultimate or the boundless compassion. Now, sometimes, for example, the boundless compassion during the time of, I think so, there is a history. I will brief the story because of shortage of time, I think so. One of the greatest Buddhist philosopher, Acharya Asanga. In Tibetan we say Phagpa Thokme. So he is one of the greatest philosopher of the transcendental knowledge. He used to write a commentary on the most profound teaching of Buddha, the Pratyaparamita. He has written one commentary on that. And most of the Buddhist institutions, they do study his philosophy. So, Asanga, when he was a student, he went to China and he meditated in the Five Peak Mountain. There is a Five Peak Mountain in China, and he meditated there for 3 years, and he visualized the future Buddha, the Maitreya, for 3 years, and after 3 years, he didn't get any kind of result, not even a good sign of dream also, not a good dream for 3 years. So he was a bit scared, and he came out from the cave, from that Five Peak Mountain, and he thought that now he is unable to practice and he is unable to see Buddha, the future Buddha. When he was coming out, he saw that there is a person who is rubbing the big mountain with a soft feather. Big mountain with a soft feather. And Asanga used to go to him, and Asanga used to ask him, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I want to finish all this mountain." And then Asanga was surprised with that soft feather just rubbing on the mountain. He wanted to destroy all the mountain. It's impossible by doing that way. But even then, it shows there is some rocks were finished by rubbing that. And he was surprised, and he thought, he just talked to himself and saying that, oh, even the laymen who are practicing without, even though there is no use, but if he is taking too much hardship to wash, to destroy all those mountains with a soft feather, then why not me? He thought that way. Why not me? Go inside the mountain again. Go inside the cave and meditate. Because this is for the benefit of all the living beings. I wanted to become Buddha. So it is a good action. And he thought that way and he entered into the cave and again meditated for 3 years. Again, no result. He came out. In this way, he did 3-4 times. And in the end, after finishing 12 years of meditating in that five-peaked mountain, that Asanga, he didn't get any kind of result, not even a good dream even. And he was really so tired and he was frustrated. He was tired. And after meditating for 12 years, there's no kind of result. Then he thought that it is no use of meditating there, and he came out from there and started going down the hill. And when he reaches on the valley down there, and he saw a dog, a beach. The lower portion of the body is full of wound, a wounded bitch. And there, in the wound, there are thousands and thousands of small insects who are eating her flesh. Even though the dog is suffering too much, but because of her dualistic mind, or say because of the defilement, that dog is still wanted to bite to someone. And the dog, the bitch, she saw Asanga and she wanted to bite Asanga. And she is coming from that side. It's very difficult for her to come because most of the lower portion of her body is completely wounded. There are thousands and thousands of insects who are eating her flesh. So at that moment, Asanga saw that dog and immediately he became so sad, and some natural compassion arises from his mind, and he was deeply hurt by that situation. And he went to that animal and he wanted to help that animal now, who is suffering now. The question is how he is going to help that dog. He thought that if he saves the dog, takes out all the insect, then these insect will die. If he won't save the dog, keeping all the insect in the same place, then the dog will die. So there is a very critical situation at that moment. And then he thought that now he should do something. If he use with the twigs and take out the insect, then insect will die. It is no use of doing that way. So he thought that he just cut his flesh. A little bit he wanted to cut his flesh and put here and take out all the insect and put them on that flesh. He felt some sort of deep compassion that way. And now he wanted to take out the flesh from insect from there. And he thought that among our body, the tongue is one of the softest ones. So he wanted to take all the insect with the use of his tongue. He wanted to take this way and take out all the insect and put in that flesh which he has cut from his body. And he started taking out his tongue from the mouth, and he started going to touch the wound and take out the insect. At that moment, he just closed because he thought that it's very dirty even. Sometimes it is very difficult for us to touch even. Then how we are able to touch the tongue? So he just closed the I and he just take out his tongue and try to take out all the insect from there. And when he do bowing down to touch that, his tongue touches on the ground. There is no dog there. There is no dog there. And when he opens his eye, he saw that Buddha, the future Buddha, the Maitreya, is in front of him. And immediately the tears come out from his eyes, and he just quarreled something. He said that, "You are not so compassionate. I meditated for you for 12 years. You didn't give, you are not so kind. You didn't show any kind of kindness to me. Till now, I meditated for 12 years. What happened?" He just talked to Buddha Maitreya. And Buddha Maitreya said that, "No, my dear son, I was there when you come in the cave at first day, when you step your foot first day in the cave, I was with you. But because of your dualistic mind, because of your defilement, you did not see me. Now here, you showed a completely very strong, boundless compassion to this suffering dog. And this is not a real dog. And all those examples, when he came out from the mountain, all those are the incarnations of Buddha Maitreya, the future Buddha. And you showed a very strong compassion to it, and all your defilement is washed away. And immediately you saw me." But he didn't believe that. Then Buddha Maitreya, he said that, "Then take me on your shoulder and go out in the market and show whether everybody can see me or not." Then he used to put Buddha Maitreya here on his shoulder, and he started going out in the crowds. And he started shouting, saying that, "What is on my shoulder?" or something like that. And nobody has seen anything on his shoulder. Most of the people, they said that he's a crazy, he's a mad. There's nothing on his shoulder, but even then he is shouting like that way, like a crazy man. And there is one old lady who is very poor with a stick. And she said that, "Oh, I saw one dead body of the dog." She saw the dead body of a dog on the shoulder. That means she is a little bit more purified. Even though she is not fully purified, but she is a little bit purified. So, that means that if we show our deep compassion to all living beings, because they are all suffering in this samsara, if you take practice compassion for all living beings with the strong feelings of helping other living beings, then it can help you to purify all your defilement. And it can also lead you towards the nirvana. In this way, you will become fully awakened. So this is one kind of example showing the deep compassion. That is boundless compassion. So compassion, the boundless compassion should be that way. It is not only when you see the poor or the suffering animals and you get some, you feel some sort of compassion and give pity. It's also useful. It is also good. It doesn't mean that it is bad. But through that, you have to practice. And now, during that period, when you are practicing compassion, you must think that, "May all living beings be free from all the sufferings and the sources of sufferings." That is the way of thinking to practice the compassion. Think that way. And then practice. It can minimize, it can also dispel your, it can also purify your defilement. And slowly, when the defilement is decreasing, your knowledge, the wisdom mind, increases. And as soon as the defilement is finished, everything is purified, then all the wisdom power will be awakened. You will become Buddha in that way. So, four boundless, first one is boundless love towards all living beings. Second one is boundless compassion. Now, third one is talking about the rejoicing, boundless of rejoicing. Now, rejoicing means, normally we do some job, for example, normally when we do some kind of work and if that work becomes successful, then we become happy. We rejoice at that time. But that is not the boundless rejoicing. Now, boundless rejoicing means it is not thinking of your success. It is not thinking of your happiness. But you are thinking the success and the good quality and any kind of good action done by other people. Through that, you must practice rejoicing. For example, if my enemy became very successful in business, or if my enemy became very successful in politics or any kind of work, then at that moment you must think that even though he is your enemy, but you must feel happiness. Rejoice yourself because he has done something good, so he became successful. It doesn't mean that successful doesn't mean that because accumulating it comes from some doing bad things, but success or the good qualities or any kind of qualities which are really appreciable, those qualities will normally come after accumulating good merit. Normally. So, even if your enemy is successful or he is really very learned person, he has a quality of bodhisattva or quality of other Buddhas, if he has that type of qualities, then you must think those qualities he accumulated since accumulating many merits in his past lives. Not only that, even in this life also he accumulated a lot and he became successful. So through that, if you feel that you become happy, then that is a rejoicing. Any kind of success which comes to you, any kind of quality what you have, if you become some sort of happy, that is not a rejoicing. It's a kind of happiness, it's all right, but it's not kind of boundless rejoicing. For example, now again, maybe it is more clear. A person who used to go to the monastery, to a big temple, and he offered thousands and thousands of lamps in front of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And if he offers that way, and you are so poor, you don't have anything to offer there. But you can also accumulate the same merit what he accumulated through rejoicing now. Rejoicing is this one, very important. Now, during that period, when that person who offered thousands of light in front of Buddha's statue, even though you don't have anything to offer, but you think that, oh, may that person who is accumulating a great merit through offering the lamps, may he become greater and greater, and may he become Buddha very soon. You just go on praising. Praise his good work. Become happy that way. Then the equal merit, even though you didn't offer a single lamp, but you offered the same thing what he offered, same thing, because of your good intention. So that is a kind of boundless rejoicing. when someone does something really good job, at that time don't be jealous to that, but be happy, rejoice yourself because he is doing something very good, and pray for his long life, and pray for his success. If you go on doing that way, then you are also accumulating the same merit like that person who is accumulating a great merit through offering or through doing something good. If a person saves the life of some animal who is suffering, if he saves the life during that period, then again during that time also you must feel this kind of rejoicing. Feel happy and pray that you may also get such type of opportunity, such type of chance to do that. Even though you don't have any chance to do that, but through rejoicing you can enjoy that. Through rejoicing you can accumulate that type of merit. So in this way, if you go on practicing